Can you hear me? I'm going to do a short presentation called Boundaries and Networks from a Space in Hong Kong. And bear with me, you'll see how it sort of transitions. So it's called Boundaries and Networks, Thermal Space in Hong Kong, and you'll see how it sort of dovetails into the kind of discussion of retail space and elevated ground planes. Hong Kong's urban morphology traces a precise geometric and optical contour, the result of the intersection of real estate speculation and infrastructure planning, commercial property leasing standards, construction technologies, and climatic controls. The tower profile, the leasable floor plate, and lift service interval, and the exterior connectivity of the curtain wall are the performance criteria and genetic material of Hong Kong's unique urban ecology.
Can I talk a little louder because they're not raising the volume yet?
The formal determinants of Hong Kong's urban landscape combine to form an alchemical architecture, a mixture of topography, demographics, economics, and climate. Climate is perhaps the least articulated determinant of Hong Kong's architectural form, yet it is one of Hong Kong's defining characteristics. Hong Kong's density of habitation make it an epicenter of artifice. New land masses reclaimed, new residential towers form geologic-like formations. While mechanically conditioned and optically regulated, architecture of Hong Kong creates a landscape of vitreous membranes and a vast new interior atmospheres. Hong Kong's interior environments simulate conditions defined by thermal comfort zones that are prescribed by multinational businesses which export goods and services as well as standard atmospheres. The history of universal atmosphere dates back to the architecture of the international style, which promised to deliver architecture from the specifics of local climate. In 1930, Le Corbusier stated, every nation builds houses for its own climate. At the time of international interpretation of scientific techniques, he said, I propose a single building for all nations and climates, the house with respiration exact. Le Corbusier's dream of a universal building with a single temperature imagined a utopian ideal, an optimized and man-made atmosphere. The discourse of climate and the discourse of globalization are inextricably linked. So, surface. Hong Kong's two archetypal surface conditions reveal its climatological imperatives. The ubiquitous reflective glass curtain wall and the air conditioner studded facades of residential structures. The two surface conditions reveal two primary strategies of thermal practice, the optical and the mechanical. Optical properties of glass curtain walls repel solar rays of the tropical sun, while the mechanical systems exchange heat and create interior thermal environments. Prerequisite. The marriage of the steel frame, the elevator, and skyscraper are central to the mythology of metropolitan life. The impact of air conditioning is no less instrumental. Prior to air conditioning, the office building relied on operable windows for natural light and air. The invention of air conditioning severed the link between the size of the floor plate and the proximity to the perimeter, emancipating building bulk from the constraints of what was naturally illuminatable and ventilatable. Air conditioning is Hong Kong's prerequisite. The dense stocks of office towers are columns of cool air, separated by floor slabs and sheathed in glass, while the vast shopping malls form horizontal chambers of cool air, monitored, filtered, dehumidified, and regulated. Air conditioning makes hyper-dense life in Hong Kong possible. Organs. Mechanical systems are the invisible organs of architecture. Screened and louvered from view, they feed spaces with conditioned air through architecture's hidden interiors. Running overhead and underfloor, buildings are equipped with vast mechanical and informational infrastructure. In Hong Kong's voracious real estate market, where every square centimeter of duct space is displacing leasable area, the planning and distribution of equipment is calculated with exacting precision. Compactness and efficiency are the rule. The Hong Kong Shanghai Bank is an exception to that rule of invisible organ. building systems are conspicuously displayed on the exterior, and the mechanical equipment gets elevated to the level of icon. Filter. Pollution and geography in the Pearl River Delta conspired to make the air in Hong Kong amongst the most polluted, with air quality levels reaching hazardous conditions with alarming frequency. The ubiquitous curtain wall membrane acts as a hermetically sealed interior to shut out Hong Kong's toxic exterior. Louvers and mechanical equipment are the ubiquitous threshold condition between inside and outside, where airflow between the two realms is regulated and filtered. Anatomy. The glass curtain wall is a pervasive architectural surface of commercial architecture in Hong Kong. The ubiquitous gridded surfaces form the material DNA of the city. The curtain wall unit is Hong Kong's basic building block and irreducible module. Dissection of the curtain wall system reveals its component layers, aluminum, silicone, and glass. Aluminum extrusions and silicone combine strength and flexibility to adhere aluminum to glass without the need for mechanical fasteners. Structural silicone glazing enables Hong Kong's vitreous landscape. The outermost layer of curtain wall membrane consists of a glass assembly, interlayers, spacers, coatings that give it specific properties, thermal performance, acoustic insulation, blast resistance, dirt repulsion, and view angle control. Reflection. Hong Kong's mirrored landscape creates a prismatic and kaleidoscopic urbanism. The Bank of China's taut glass facades produce a faceted angular form whose reflective coatings create a selective optical shell which reproduces its context in its mirrored folds. Available in a vast array of colors and tints, Hong Kong's glass trees and towers form a polychrome skyline. Chromatic associations abound. Gold-clad Far East Asia Finance Center and Admiralty is an architectural trope. The bank is a bar of gold. While the AIA headquarters in North Point employs a multicolored skin as a graphic metaphor of Hong Kong, the randomly distributed striped glass panels internalize Hong Kong's polychrome skyline and retransmit it through a conceptual sort of camouflage skin. Network. The shopping mall is a widespread application of the constructed atmospheres of commercial endeavor. The mall deploys the mechanical and optical strategies to create a complete interior environment that is conducive to commerce. Indeed, the optics of shopping malls form a calculated phantasmagoria of images and reflections, seductive and mirage-like. Festival Walk in Kowloon Tong creates a retail street in a single volume, assembling a continuous and climatically controlled shopping experience. After Chetlap Kok Airport, Festival Walk represents the single largest continued chamber conditioned air in Hong Kong. The mall has the added feature of an ice skating rink, which offers winter recreation as a primary attraction in subtropical Hong Kong. Festival Walk recreates the retail experience as thermal entertainment. Central. The elevated pedestrian retail network in Central links the various properties, as described earlier, including Landmark, Prince's Building, Alexander House, Chater House, into a single retail-branded atmosphere. The assemblage of distinct commercial properties into a seamless retail atmosphere is achieved through the integration of the design of all the bridges, as well as the creation of a constant and mechanically regulated microclimate, the seamless air-conditioned volume of air. Moving from atrium to bridge to retail link, the shopper occupies a continuous, hermetically sealed space of invariable temperature, ensuring that the consumer's atmosphere is constant and the shopping smell is unbroken. Central extends its retail environment as thermal branding. Reading. This account presents a reading of Hong Kong's architecture through the lens of thermal space. Hong Kong's particular urban morphology is a result of multiple forces, cultural, market, and technological factors that have conspired to make Hong Kong one of the most fascinating urban centers in the world. My motivations for this thermally inflected reading are multiple. First, I'm interested in the understanding of building technologies as cultural artifacts, as means of transmitting particular cultural information that if carefully decoded can yield insights into specific cultures. For example, recognizing that conditioning figures prominently within the cultural imaginings of a culture as an amenity, necessity, or site of wares desire. Second, a careful reading of these cultural artifacts reveals emerging design trends that are highly subtle, yet symptomatic of that elusive condition that we call the contemporary. I see renewed interest in the discourse and notions of sensorial and atmospheric, as well as new attention to branding as space-making. The example of the bridge network in Central is an example of a commercial strategy that deploys atmospherics as an integral component to the production of seamless branded environments, along with graphics, lighting, music, materials, and architectural form. The thermal participates in the production of the design of the total environment, atmospherics in the service of transaction. Thirdly, I'd like to look at the success of the strategy for clues as to the issues that it raises in the design of cities and for urbanism in general. What is at stake? What are the opportunities? What could be learned from these particular phenomena? Like many aspects of the built environment in Hong Kong, constraints such as density, verticality, and scarcity of buildable land are overcome by technological and administrative means. Land is reclaimed, escalators convey pedestrians up slopes, plot areas are multiplied as real estate, and the ground plane is replicated as a network of pedestrian bridges. The duplication of the ground has particular consequences to the notion of the public realm and civic space. As the bridge network acts as a proxy to the ground plane as a public territory, it's important to ask what are its limits. And as the bridge network acts as a public work, a piece of urban infrastructure, and is developed by a public-private development, it raises the issues of maintenance, regulation, definition, and control. In 1969, the conceptual artist Peter Pasci performed a conceptual performance piece called Following Piece. For the performance, he literally followed a person chosen at random through the streets of New York until they entered the public realm. The accumulation of his trajectories formed a low-resolution image of the public realm, and that his path charted the limits of public space. A similar charting of public territories today would be difficult given the nuanced and ambiguous nature of the public realm today and its infringements by the pressures of commerce and security. Hong Kong's intense urban condition acts as a case study and prototype for that future urbanism, and we would do well to take note of its lessons from Hong Kong. Commerce as culture, close quote.